All right. So the topic tonight is judging favorably. Dan l'kaschut. I promised that we would do some kind of ben adam l'chavero oriented shir during the 3 weeks, and we didn't get to do it 2 weeks ago or last week. So here it is. The truth is that I had other ideas of what I would do, but Sonia talked me out of them. She said that they were going to be counterproductive for the 3 weeks, so I'll save them for another time. So we'll talk about this. Judging favorably down the cups. My two main sources over here are this book called The Right and the Good by Rabbi Daniel Feldman, which is an excellent sefer. Everybody is recommended. It's a book about basically the halachot of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, but very, very, very dense footnotes, but really, really well written. And one of the Olamot Shirim that I just perused a few minutes ago, just to fill in. And what I want to talk about tonight is the idea of being Dan Mekav Zchut, which I think is very relevant for us for the 3 weeks, and especially during the 9 days when we're thinking about Sinat Chinam and Ahavat Chinam, and thinking about the interrelationships between people. And let's jump in. All right. If anybody has any comments, feel free to either write in the chat or to talk. Happy to hear. Okay. So there's two main sources for the idea of being done the kafschut. I'm sure everybody knows the second one. So we're going to start with a different one of the first. So the pasuk in Vayikra says, "Lo ta'asu avel b'mishpat, lo tisap neidav, lo te'atar b'nei gadol, b'tzedek tishpat amitecha." There's a few different aspects to judgment in this pasuk. One, you shouldn't make a travesty out of the law. Fine. You shouldn't treat the poor badly, and you shouldn't treat the great any better than they actually deserve to be treated. In other words, treat the poor and the wealthy the same. And then finally, b'tzedek tishpot amitecha. In fairness and in strict judgment, you should judge your fellow compatriots of your nation. Okay. Now the Gemara in Shavuot reads this pasuk, reads the last three words of this pasuk, and actually has three comments to make about it. Tanu Rabbanan, b'tzedek tishpot amitecha, shelo yehi achad yoshev v'achad omed, achad medaber kol tzarko v'achad omer lo, k'tzor dvarecha. So this is talking directly to the judge. And it says, judge, when you have two people come into your court, you have a plaintiff and you have a defendant, make sure you treat them equally. Make sure that each one gets the same amount of time to talk. Make sure that one of them, that they're both either standing or sitting. You shouldn't have one standing and one sitting, one standing. One gets to talk for a long time, one gets to talk for a short time. No, you have to treat them each fairly. B'tzedek tishpot amitecha. Okay? So, pshuto k'mashma'o, it's talking to the judge. But then the Gemara offers another interpretation. Davar acher, b'tzedek tishpot amitecha, havedan et chavercha l'kaf zchut. That you should judge your friend favorably. Okay? L'kaf zchut, that you should be noteh. You should tend towards being mezakeh. This does not seem to be talking to a judge. It's talking to every person that, you know, in whatever situation it may be, we'll go into the situations after, you should treat each person by giving them what we call in English, the benefit of the doubt. Just change my name because it's bothering me. Hold on 1 second. Finally, the third comment that the Gemara makes, Tani Rav Yosef, v'tzedek tishpot amitecha, im she'itcha b'torah v'mitzvot tishtadel laduno yafeh. Rav Yosef seems to be making a limiting comment. This has to do with the topic that I told Sonia I wasn't going to talk about, which is that b'tzedek tishpot amitecha appears to be limited only to people who are shomer Torah mitzvot. Okay? Rav Yosef believes that this excludes those who are not. You don't have an obligation to judge them, or at least to assume that this is outside of the court, to judge them favorably. Im shata itcha b'torah mitzvot tishtadel laduno yafeh. Only those who are acting properly. That's Rav Yosef's statement. Rav Yosef is an Amora, of course. The other statements, at least one of them, is from a Raita. Okay? These are the statements that we have in the Gemara in Shavuot, based on the Pasukim Sedek Toshbat Amitach. However, everybody knows the phrase Dan Lekav Zchut from a Mishnah in Avot, which is different. This is the Mishnah in the first parak of Avot. Yehoshua ben Brachi v'nita rabeli kiblu behem. Yehoshua ben Brachi omer, aseh lecha rav, k'nei lecha chaver, v'haveidan et kol ha'adam lekach zchut. Okay? Now here, Yehoshua ben Prachya, I don't know, is he talking to a judge or is he talking to regular people? I think I would assume he's talking to regular people, right? This doesn't seem to be in the context of a court case, albeit that the Rambam says that all of Pirkei Avot is actually directed towards judges, but that's just as a broad statement. But over here, it appears that Yehoshua ben Prachya is talking to regular people. You have to be done the kafskut, but there is a difference. What's the main difference between the way that Yehoshua ben Prachya says it and the way that the Breita in Shavuot says it?
Mesechet Avot says, Avedan et kol ha'adam lekav zchut. It's a very general, broad statement.
As opposed to the Gemara in Shavuot that says, Avedan et chavercha lekav zchut. Which chavercha could mean your friend, like some kind of social acquaintance, or it could just mean your fellow Jew, or it could mean your fellow Jew who's also a good person. It's not clear, but it's certainly more limiting than et kol ha'adam. Now there's one other kind of black and white statement that we can't ignore, which is the Gemara in Brachot. Those of you who have been doing Daf Yomi, so you passed this a long time ago, a few months. Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel, Im ra'ita Talmid Chacham Sha'avar Avera Balayla, Al Taharher Acharav Bayom. Shema Asa Tshuva. If you see a Talmid Chacham, a righteous person who is the Torah mitzvot very strong, and he does an Avera. Here we're talking about a person, he did not be right. You saw him do it. You saw him eat a cheeseburger. There's no doubt, there's no question. It wasn't, you know, ambiguous. He did not be right. Nevertheless, when you see him the next day, you should treat him as the same Talmud Chacham because it's very possible that he did tshuva. But you know what? The Gemara is not even satisfied. It says, Shema Salkadaitach. Really? Only Shema? Rather, Ela Vadayasa Tshuva. No, for sure he did Tshuva. If he's a Talmud Chacham, if he's a real Talmud Chacham, he for sure did Tshuva by the next day. Now, there's one limiting factor. It says, V'hani mili b'dorim shebegufo, avo b'mamona ad mahanta l'mare. It says, in terms of how we should treat him, that's only in terms of things that, like eating a cheeseburger. However, if he stole from somebody, then you don't have to treat it as though he did Tshuva if he never gave the money back. He has to give the money back. And then you can treat him, you can go back to treating him like a Talmud Chacham. What I think is striking over here is that here, it's not even dan lekav zchut. There's something even more here, because dan lekav zchut assumes some kind of ambiguity, that you're not sure if something happened. So you should either go this way or that way. But here, you know exactly what happened. And nevertheless, you have to bend over backwards to assume that, yes, he may have done an avera, but he already did tshuva. And I need to assume that by the next day. Okay? So that's, I think, kind of the spectrum of what we have. It's not the full spectrum. You'll see there's one more statement, but we have to evaluate it separately. Any comments before we look at what some of the Rishonim have to say about these halachot, about whether they're halachot? Any ideas? Jake Ledico, anything you want to say?
I'm just really happy to be together again, Rabbi. And I've got my McAfee, so I feel safe.
All right, fine. Let's continue. So we'll take a look at some of the Rishonim and see some of the differences. So first, we have to look at the Rambam. Because the Rambam is a little bit complicated. The Rambam, in his Sefer HaMitzvot, when he's actually listing the mitzvot, so he gets to Mitzvah Kuf Ayin Zayin, 177, and he says, He should nitzavu adayanim lahashvot bein balei dinin, v'shiyen ishma kol achad meyam im orach dvarav ok tzoram. V'amor yitala b'tzedek tishpot amitacha. So the Rambam here takes the first explanation of the Gemara in Shavuot, and says that's what B'tzedek Tishpot Amidacha means, that a judge has to give everybody equal time and equal treatment in the court. But then he says, Zot achat min hakavanot shekolel alei hamatzibur ezer. That's only one of the meanings. Now, within the same mitzvah, okay, the Rambam says, Ubo gam kein shekol ish mitzuveh ladun din torak sheyeh yodea bo v'sheyashvit hariv shebein balei adinim. So he has another meaning that we haven't even seen. This is from the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that Every single person is chayav ladun din Torah kshiyeh yodeh bo b'shiyashbit harif. If he's having an argument with somebody, he has to take him to a Jewish court. Don't just leave it as an argument. B'tzedek tishpot amitacha. You have an obligation, b'tzedek tishpot amitacha, to go and get judged. Fine. But then the Rambam drops in this final comment, v'yesh bo od shera'ui ladun et chavero lekav zchut. That you have to be done lekav zchut, v'lo yifaresh ma'asav dvarav ela latov v'chesed. And you should explain and assume things are the tov. This is explained elsewhere in the Gemara. Fine. So the Rambam has at least two of the meanings that are mentioned in the Gemara. He mentions them in a Sefer HaMitzvot. And what does that mean? That means that according to the Rambam, it would appear, in a Sefer HaMitzvot at least, that the directive to be dan lekav zchut is daraita or darabanan? It would seem, if you're speaking, you're on mute. I can't hear you.
It looks like daraita.
It certainly sounds like it's daraita. Certainly sounds like daraita. But then the Rambam pulls back in his Hilchot Sanhedrin. He says, "Mitzvata say lishpot ha-shofet b'tzadik sh'nemar b'tzadik lishpot ha-mitacha." Says lo yehechad medaber, etc., 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 and he only mentions this. In other words, over here in Hilchot Sanhedrin, maybe we weren't expecting him to mention anything else, but he doesn't mention anywhere else in the Mishnah Torah a connection to the pasuk of Metzedek Tishpat Amitacha to Dan Lekav Zchut. So we're a little bit left in the dark, a little bit, according to the Rambam, whether or not it's an actual mitzvah d'oraita to be Dan Lekav Zchut based on Metzedek Tishpat Amitacha. But Rabbeinu Yonah is pretty clear. Rabbeinu Yonah is Sefer Shari Tshuva, which is more well known as a Sefer Musar, but also has all, it's a commentary also on the mitzvot. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Nitchayavta laduna to lekav zchut al derech emet, gam ki yadavar karov v'notei yoter etzel adad lekav chova." Even if you see somebody doing something, if he's a yarei elokim, and you see him doing something that it looks like it's really bad, you're chayav to assume that it's good. Here, actually, the Rabbeinu Yonah is getting into a phase two over here that I didn't want to get into. We're going to get into it afterwards, so let's jump ahead so we can get back to it. He says, "Kemo shamur avetinu zikrono levracha, hadan et chaveru lekav zchut, hamakom yadineu lekav zchut, v'hu mitzvat asei min haTorah, shenemar, b'tzedek tishpot hamitacha." So Rabbeinu Yonah is unequivocal. He says that the mitzvah of b'tzedek tishpot hamitacha includes within it being dan lekav zchut, whatever that means, as an obligation mida oraita. It's clear, black and white. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, that it is that way. Now we have to get into a little bit of the Gedarim. What is the meaning? What does it mean to be dan lekav zchut? Who gets dan lekav zchut? Who doesn't get dan lekav zchut? How far do you have to go? What questions do you have about this din? What questions do you guys have about this? Maybe about the parameters.
To find dan lekav zchut.
Okay, define the dan lekav zchut. Okay, fine. Yeah, Jake, what'd you say?
Track record. How clean is their track record? What if they're good and bad and they've got a mix?
Okay, good. What else?
Libba, it's very hard to quantify. It's very rare we have a derisa which is only in your heart, no?
Is only what?
Only internal, it's only in your heart. There's no action to this.
You're saying, okay, good. You're saying, how does it manifest itself? Does it manifest itself in actions?
Is it just thought or is it action as well?
Good question. That's good. Yeah, David, what do you want to say?
I think from the civil law, if it's a criminal trial, we need to be more than reasonable doubt to say that someone did the wrong, but if it's just monetary felony, you just need to be 51%.
That's true. That's what happened to OJ.
Right. So maybe the kaf schud is just it's like the criminal. You need to be really, really sure that this person needs to be accused. I mean, needs to be indicted.
It sounds like what you're suggesting, David, is that even on the level of a court case, maybe the case matters. Maybe our threshold for when we are done the kaf schud and when we're not might depend on the actual case in front of us. That's interesting.
Right. I like David's idea as well, just as a different concept. The fact that it's not an aspirational, maybe even almost impossible to reach automatically done the kaf schud, but it's almost as though you've weighed it out, and after weighing it all out and accepting the fact that one's initial tendency may not be to done kaf schud, as long as overall by the end of it it's done the kaf schud, and then that's more attainable than just to immediately think that everything must be done the kaf schud, which could be very difficult.
Right. Okay, so let's take a look. So I hid it from you a second ago, but Rabbeinu Yonah does start to give us some of the parameters. So for example, we're going to see this echoed in the Chafetz Chaim and in others, but let's read it carefully. He says, V'inei, kitiwa adam asher yidaber davar o yaseh maaseh, v'yeh tishpot dvaro o maaseh letzad tova o letzad zchut. So you see somebody who does do something that's ambiguous. It could be good, it could be bad. Im ha'ishu yirei Elokim. If the person is God-fearing, then you're obligated to be down the kaf schut al derech emet. Even if it's actually close to being bad, you should assume it's good. V'himu min ha-benonim, and if he's kind of a medium, he's an average guy, v'sheyizaru min ha-cheit u'pamim mikashuluvah, sometimes he's good, sometimes he's bad, yesh alech al hatot ha-safek u'l'achriyo l'kaf schut. If you have a safek, you should still go l'schut. V'im ha-davar, I'm jumping ahead, im ha-davar noteh l'kaf chova, yeh ha-davar etzlecha kemo safek, and this same person, this Beinoni, if you see something that's really tending towards bad, then you should at least say, I don't know. You don't have to say that he's good, but you should at least say, you know, I'm really not sure what happened over here. You never know. I don't really know if it was good or if it was bad. That's what the Beinoni. The im ha'ishu rov ma'asav la'roa, if he's generally a bad person, oh, b'chanato ki ein yirat elokim b'levavo, you know that he's not a God-fearing person, then, even if it's something ambiguous, assume that it's bad. So here we learn something even more amazing that we would have expected, at least I would have expected, entering the sugya with no knowledge at all, that dan lekaf schut only goes one way. That's what I would have expected. I would have thought that, okay, you know, it goes to the good. But why would you assume that it goes to the bad? But Rabbeinu Yonah just said that when it comes to a rasha, you have to be noteh to the bad. And with regards to the Beinoni, you kind of tend towards the middle. If it's, you know, if it's kind of gvuli, then you say the kaf zchut. But if it's a little bit bad, so then you say a safek, I don't know. So Rabbeinu Yonah gave us pretty much some parameters to work with. The Chavetz Chaim, echoing Rabbeinu Yonah, basically almost the same words, he says, "Klal gadol veikar binyanim elu, imu ro'eh adam shidiber davar asa maaseh, bein mima shebein adam lemakom, o mima shebein adam lechavero," which is another thing that we didn't talk about. Doesn't matter what kind of averot we're talking about. "V'yesh lishpot varo maaseh letzad hatov letzad hazchut, im ha'ish ahu yireh Elohim, itchayev ladin otov kaf zchut." If he is yireh Elohim, you always have to judge him favorably. Even if it seems to tend that what he did was bad. If he's mina benonim, as the Rabbeinu Yonah said, so if it's a safek shakul, if it's kind of in the middle, then you have to say lekaf schut. And if it's something that's bad, then he says it should be like a safek. And he adds on, "Ubamakom shadavar notel lekaf zchut devaday asur, debavaday asur al pidin adun lekaf chova, v'udan notel lekaf chova b'shul ze alach v'ginehu." Here you go in terms of manifestation. By the way, Avi, here he's talking about not a judge, but he's saying, you know, afterwards you might say something bad about him, because after all, lashon hara is only a problem if the person's not a rasha. Maybe this person's a rasha, and you might say something bad about him. Says if you do such a thing, Levan shavar bezal tzbetzadek nishmat mitecha or avar bezal al isor sipur lashon hara. We all know the Chafetz Chaim wrote his sefer, and throughout most of his sefer, his job is to basically, you know, point out how everything leads inevitably to lashon hara, or lashon hara it leads inevitably to everything else. Okay?
Can I ask a question? Sorry, can I ask a question? Talking about, if I understand, you're saying that you judge, you estimate what kind of a person you're dealing with, whether it's a tzaddik or a rasha. So is there some issue of dan b'kav zchut when you're assessing what kind of a person, how do you know who you're dealing with? How you look at someone, how do you know if it's a, you know?
That's a great question. The Chafetz Chaim deals with that. He talks about, you know, if the only way that you know that this person is not good is because of secondhand knowledge from a few people, then, you know, that's not going to cut it. You know, that's no reason to assume that the person is not good. However, if you've seen him, you know him, you know, if you know the person intimately, he's a friend of yours, and you've seen enough of him to know what kind of person he is, then that's certainly enough to judge one way or another. And many add on that if the person is famous for being one way or another, if he's, you know, it's written about in the papers, he's never denied it, he's never come out against it, never called slander, or if he's, you know, the opposite, you know, he's famous for being a good person, that also is probably good enough. In general, we do put stock in what's well known, objectively well known about people. But you're asking an excellent question. You know, there could be people who are hidden tzaddikim and they look like Rishayim, and there could be people who are the opposite. And you never know.
Right.
You never know. The problem is that, as we're going to see later, the problem is that what's at stake here isn't just, you know, being machmir and saying, okay, maybe I should just always be dan b'kav zchut. That's not an option. As we're going to see later, you might have thought it was, and I thought it was. But we're going to see later that that's not so much an option for some of the Rishonim. And we'll see why. Okay, let's go to the Rambam. The Rambam has mostly the same stuff. I did bold something at the bottom. Let's find out why I bolded something at the bottom. He says, "V'im haya bilti yadua v'hamaseh notel achad mishnei ksavot tzarich b'derech ha'ma'ala sheyadun l'kav zchut eizeh mishnei ksavot shetiyah." Okay, so here's a big line, because the Rambam here introduced something new. He says, "Tzarich b'derech ha'ma'ala." What do you think that means? "Tzarich b'derech ha'ma'ala." What does that sound like?
Up, going up.
Right. Now, what's he adding by saying, oh, you know, you need to do as a high level? It sounds like the Rambam is saying that this is something that is not required, but is a good thing. So there's a midat chasidut over here, that if you don't know, and it could be this way, or it could be that way, then the best thing to do, you know what, it is good to be machmir. We should just say, okay, let's go to kaf zchut. He's not talking about a person who's a rasha over here, but he's talking about a regular person. He says, it's even when you're not obligated to be done the kaf zchut, he says, it's still good to. It's a good thing to do it. By the way, over here, the Rambam says, imaya rasha benitz parsamu ma'asav. So the definition of a rasha over here is a person who is famous for being a rasha. Right, so I don't know, somebody who was convicted of a crime or something like that, who knows, something like that, or, you know, an unrepentant sinner who doesn't try to hide his actions, something like that. Yeah. What was interesting to me, though, is going back to it, in terms of the Rasha, am I obligated to judge him unfavorably? And if I am obligated, where does that come from? Why would I be obligated to judge him unfavorably?
Isn't that obligation only if he's got a bad reputation?
Fine. Let's say it's only if he's got a bad reputation. I know that I have to judge people favorably because of ubetzedek tishpot amitacha. But it sounds like ubetzedek means, you know, in a good way. But where do I get in a bad way to be, unless maybe it's not an obligation, but rather it's just a heter or a good idea, but it sounds like an obligation. So the question is, where would something like that come from? All right, so let me show you one other case. This is a case in Shabbat. Those of you who have been learning Daf Yomi, you actually came upon this recently. So it should be fresh in your minds. It's from about, I guess, 2 weeks ago. Because we're on, you guys.
About a week and a half.
About a week and a half. So you probably were thinking of this case as I was reading it, right, Ami? So this is a story.
I actually did wonder when you were coming, but I just couldn't remember about the amazing guy. And he, but I can't remember what the schar was for the fact that he always...
So we'll see at the end of the story. So here's the story.
Ice cream.
What was that, Jake?
He was just thinking about ice cream.
A story is told of a certain man who descended from Upper Galilee and was engaged by an individual in the south for 3 years. Okay, so this guy's working for 3 years. On the eve of Yom Kippur, he requested him, give me my wages so that I can go and support my wife and children. I have no money, he said. Give me produce. Give me some of the stuff that I worked, he demanded. I have none. Give me land. I have none. Give me cattle. I have none. Give me pillows and bedding. I have none. He's got nothing. So the worker slung his things behind him and went home with a sorrowful heart. He went home with nothing. After the festival, after Yom Kippur, his employer took his wages in his hand together with three laden donkeys, one bearing food, another drink, and the third various sweetmeats, and went to his house. So the boss went to the house of the worker after Yom Kippur. After they had eaten and drunk, he gave him his wages. Said he to him, the boss said to the worker, when you asked me, give me my wages, and I answered you, I have no money. What did you suspect me? So the worker said, I thought perhaps you came across cheap merchandise and had purchased it. And then when you requested, give me cattle, and I answered, I have no cattle, what did you suspect me? I thought, maybe hired to others the cattle. When you asked me, give me land, and told you I had no land, what do you think? I thought, perhaps it's leased to others. And when I told you I have no produce, what did you think? I thought, perhaps they're not tithed. And then when I told you I had no pillows or bedding, what did you think? I thought, perhaps he sanctified all his property to heaven. Okay, so he was makdish everything he has to Shamayim, to the Beit HaMikdash. Although that one would actually cover all the other ones, but fine. By the temple service, he claimed, the boss said, that's exactly what happened. I vowed away all my property because of my son, Hyrcanus, which makes this person Hyrcanus' father. Although that's a little weird because Hyrcanus' father actually wasn't so happy about his son, Eliezer. So it's presumably not the same one because Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, left his father and was basically disowned by him. So presumably it's not the same one. Who would not occupy himself with the Torah, but when I went to my companions in the south, they absolved me of all my vows. In other words, he took a vow, but now he was absolved, before Yom Kippur. And as for you, just as you judged me favorably, so may Hashem judge you favorably. That's the reward that he gave him. It says justice, which actually relates to the beginning that I cut off for a good reason, that the reward for judging people favorably is that you get judged favorably. Now, what do you think of this story? How does this story fit into what we saw in the Rishonim? Does it fit in? Was this worker obligated to think this way?
It sounds like it might be optional. If I choose to judge you favorably, then I will in turn be judged favorably. But if I don't choose that way, then I will not be judged favorably.
Okay. So you're saying by the fact that he gave him such praise, it must be that that was a little bit beyond the letter of the law. Because if it was just the letter of the law, then he would have just said, okay, good, you're right, and that's what happened. I tend to agree with you. The only thing is, does this fit into what Rabbeinu Yonah said about how if it's kind of a little bit far to the side of chova, you have to at least just go back to the middle and say safek. But the Rambam did say that this is the Rambam's al derech ha-ma'alah, that this is midat chasidut, according to the Rambam, going this far. Now I want to get into a little bit of the question of why. What's the purpose of being dan lekav zchut? So you guys tell me, why is there such a mitzvah? We can ask that question if we want to. We don't, necessarily feel bound by the answers, but we can ask the question. Why is there a mitzvah of being dan lekav zchut?
Because it's makes sinat chinam less likely.
Okay.
I guess to give us an ability to be like midas rachamim. It's just like that's what we expect when we're in these times of din. We want rachamim, so we're practicing ourselves.
So Barbara, you said it's for interpersonal relationships. And Jake, you kind of said that it's for myself. That should be the kind of person that I am.
Yeah. I'll agree with the interpersonal relationships that Barbara mentioned. If the way I judge a person will affect the way I deal with and talk to and deal with that person.
Right.
Yeah, good question. Good point.
Okay, we have a few different approaches over here. One, which is just a very pshat-oriented approach. This is assuming that Sefer HaChinuch, when he talks about the Tzedek Tishpat HaMitecha as a mitzvah, so he kind of sees it only as the judgment in court mitzvah, right? So he focuses on the fact that a judge is obligated to make sure that everybody's on equal footing. And so he says over here, he says the reason why you have Chayav Adam Ladin Et Haver L'Chav Zchut Shehu B'Chal HaMitzvah Yesiba Liyot Bein Anashim Shalom Bereut. Right? In other words, you want to make sure that everybody's equal and people treat each other fairly so that there should be shalom b'neim. Okay? So he sees it simply as a good trait to have if you want to promote good relations. And many agree with that. The Marshal and Achuva. So he says, so straight up, like Barbara said, the point of this is to promote good feelings between people. When you have people judging each other favorably, they don't get angry, they don't get into fights, they just assume the best between each other, and that's a good way to be. Rav Eliyahu Dessler as well, he says, Achiyuv ladun lekav zchut ba mikoch v'ahavta l'arecha kamocha. Interesting that he says that, because it sounds like he's saying that it comes from that pasuk, but it doesn't. It comes from Betzedek Tishpot Amitecha. So it's interesting that he does it that way. Kamo she'adam mechapes u'motzeh zchut la'atzmo al kol ma'asav ha'mekulkalim v'afilu im kol ha'am ta'alot hen lo dubim lo ya'ar. I forget what that phrase is supposed to mean. Who's an Israeli? Remind me what lo dubim v'lo ya'ar is supposed to mean. Somebody know? Dad, mommy definitely knows. It's good enough to just say eh to be an Israeli. Nobody knows what lo dubim v'lo ya'ar means. Ezra, do you know what lo dubim v'lo ya'ar means? No, nobody knows. All right, Dad, you'll look it up while we're talking. So
I asked mom, she's not sure.
Okay. Lo dubim v'lo ya'ar. Kach mechuyav la'asot l'chaveiro. So this is what you have to do for your friend, just like you want to be judged favorably. So you have to judge other people favorably. Im einos laken, ein ze mishum shepitom na'aseh chacham u'pikech, al mishum shechaseh lo ba'ava. If you don't do it, it's not because you're so smart and you're so savvy and street smart. It's because you're not nice, because you don't love the person as much as you love yourself. Fine. So all three of these have the position that it's about shalom, ben adam l'chaviro. But now it gets very interesting. And here, the Meiri has a very modern take on this. The Meiri has a long sefer called the Chibur HaTshuva, which is a good reading before Yom Kippur. It's about tshuva. It's like the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. Not many Rishonim had philosophical works on tshuva the way that the Rambam did, but the Meiri does. So he says, "Choshed b'ksherim sibat hitakev atshuva mimenu lefi da'ati," because choshed b'ksherim is one of the cases where a person gets prevented from doing tshuva. So a person who suspects others who are really innocent, he gets prevented from doing tshuva. Why? He says, "Av b'shein b'inyan guf aveira." There's no actual aveira of choshed b'ksherim. You haven't, physically done anything wrong. But he says, "B'chashdo to acher shelo chamso v'lo bisho b'kol makom hi midat tvi'eu liyoto." This is the Meiri's tour de force, which is an amazing idea, and I think it's probably more relevant now in the last century than it has ever been. He says the problem with not being done the kafschut is if we focus on the tzaddikim part of the equation, right, on the good people part of the equation, what will happen is that you assume the worst in good people, then who are you going to look up to? V'yu kol bnei adam shavim etzlo ketzadik kerasha acher shehu choshed b'tfeilat ha-tzadik kemo sh'ra'ui lachshod b'pa'ol adam rasha. Everybody will be like a rasha to you. You're very jaded. V'im zot ha-machshava lo yachriach tivo liyot o shomea l'mitzvat chachamim ki yachashvein yam ken b'divrayim. What are you going to do? Every rabbi is the same. They're all crooks, and they're all villains, and they're all dishonest, and they're all sinners behind closed doors. And they all just want power, and then why should I listen to them? says that's what happens when you're not done the kafschut. No yishma lo tochachtam achar shehu choshtam sheim ikashlu behem b'mashu mochichim bnei adam. וכבר הביאה זאת המחשבה לדורות הקדמונים להמשך אחר העבירות ולבלתי שמוע עצה וקבלת הוכחת. And the problem is that when people assume the worst in good people, then it ends up not enabling, they're not able anymore to listen to the actual advice that those good people have to give, and especially to their mitzvot. And he goes on, he says, this is why there's a mitzvah to be done the kafschut, especially for chachamim, she'ein ladun laharher achar cheskat chasidutam. Assuming that they're chasidim, good people, so you shouldn't think badly about them. Ad she'odeh b'beirur, unless you are absolutely certain that they've done something wrong. And that's why you have to always assume the best in them. Just trying to see if there's anything more.
By the way, the phrase lo dubim velo ya'ar comes from Malachim Bet. Mom, just look it up. And it means something that never happens, basically.
Ah, this was Elisha, right?
Elisha,
yeah.
Lo haya ve'lo nivra.
This is with the kids, right? This is with the kids that messed with him?
Yes.
Yeah, it was the kids that messed with him, that were making fun of him. Anyways, okay, fine. So the Meiri's point is that when there's a crisis of faith in rabbis or in authority, so then it leads to people simply disregarding the law and disregarding what the rabbis had to say. Now, I realize that the knee-jerk modern reaction to all of this is, yeah, well, sometimes the rabbis are dishonest, and sometimes the rabbis don't deserve our respect, and sometimes they are corrupt. And if you give them too much power and you give them too much respect, then they can do whatever they want. And what are you
name some names?
But there's a danger. In other words, what's the cost of being cynical? There's a cost there.
Cost of being cynical is you don't trust anybody.
Exactly. And frankly, I know people disagree with me, but I prefer to live in a world where I trust people. I know somebody very, very close to me who every morning goes to shul on his bike, and he leaves his electric bike outside the shul and he doesn't lock it up. And when asked why he doesn't lock it up, he always says, because I want to live in a world where people don't steal my electric bike from outside a shul. That's the world I want to live in. If I'm wrong, then let it happen. But I don't want to live in a world where I'm worried about that happening, because I want to be done the kafschut, that this is the way that people are. So the extension of that to what the Meiri is talking about, the Meiri is taking it to the extreme and saying the real ikar of done the kafschut is for the tzaddikim, that we should respect the tzaddikim and we should listen to them. There is another class of people that are the beinonim. It almost sounds like they're kind of dragged after the tzaddikim. They're just part of the equation over here. They're not the main part of the equation, but they're in there. I think there's a very interesting take on Dan the Kafskut. Okay. Others that said things like this, the Chut HaShani, this is, I think, the son of the... now I'm forgetting. Not the son of the Stipler. The son of... who's the Chut HaShani? Alive. Up. Chut HaShani. Sefer Chut HaShani. One second. That's not it. Rav Nissim Karelitz. Rav Nissim Karelitz. Okay. So Rav Nissim Karelitz. So he writes over here. He says, Adam shore ma'ase avira, areza mashpia lav sha'avira naset kala beinav. He has also a very interesting take on this. He quotes the Chazon Ish. Says, if a person sees an avera being done, that avera has an effect on him. What happens is that the avera becomes like part of life. People do this. Okay? And he says, Chazon Ish said one time, very interesting, Chazon Ish didn't live in Ranana. Chazon Ish said that when you see cars being driven on Shabbat, you should always think that they're that it's the same car going around and around. There's only one or two cars. There's only one or two people who are driving around and around and around. And that's the extent to which people are being mechallel Shabbat. Why? Why? Because if you think that all these people are driving on Shabbat, then Nasa kal yoter ha'isur Shabbat be'inav. Then even though you're not the one doing the isur, you're not the one being mechallel Shabbat, but chilul Shabbat becomes a part of life. It becomes a part of Shabbat. Mehay tam yatzinu chazal ladun et kol adam lekav zchut af mishenu makirod hu klape atzmo. He says this is for you. Okay, this is a radical idea. He says it's similar to the Meiri, by the way, in terms of it being for you. But tzedek tishpat amitecha is for you, and it has nothing to do with the other person's merit. It has to do with the avera being done. The point, according to Rav Nissim Karelitz, is that when you see somebody doing something wrong, you should be done the kafschut that he didn't even do anything wrong, that there was no avera being done, and it has nothing to do with him. It's so that you shouldn't see Averot being done. Why? Because when you see Averot being done, it leads to you not caring about Averot. There's a Musar here, by the way, for things, you know, for watching TV and the things that we see in our day-to-day lives where, you know, you see over and over the same Avera being done, it becomes, okay, not a big deal. But according to the Chazanish, that's a very grave thing. That's against B'tzedek Tishpot Amitecha. Now, what's the nafka minas? So we don't have a lot of time left, so we'll just go through one point. The Sefer Divrei Shalom, so he brings up one chakira. He says, going back to the Gemara in Shavuot that says that B'tzedek Tishpot Amitecha is dan et chavero l'kaf zchut versus the Mishnah in Avot that says dan et kol ha'adam l'kaf zchut. So what's the difference? So he wants to explain that if we assume that the purpose of being dan lekaf zchut is for the purpose of shalom, right? So then it really only extends to people that we care about having shalom with. The Gemara in Shavuot limited it to dan et chevero lekaf zchut, to those who are shomer Torah and mitzvot, right? So, frankly, it may not be as important, or at least it may not be germane to the mitzvah of tzedek tishpat amitecha, to be concerned about shalom between people that are rishayim. I'm not necessarily interested in that. However, he says, if the point of it is for me, that I should have respect for people, or that I should assume the best in people, or that I should not feel like I'm surrounded by avirot, then it becomes dan et kol ha'adam lekaf zchut. Then it could actually even extend even to Rishayim, which you find in some Rishonim. I know I told you that most Rishonim don't have that. We find in some Rishonim that they say, no, dan lekaf zchut even applies to people who are not tzaddikim and not even benonim. It even applies to other people. Why? Because the purpose is for me. I shouldn't be surrounded by averot. I shouldn't assume the worst in people. That's the kind of world that I don't want to live in. And that could be the difference between the two.
Another way to resolve this question is just say that chaviro and kol adam are synonymous. When we say et chaviro, dan et chaviro is it's the same as kol adam.
Yeah, it's a little balabatish, but yeah, you could say that. But you know,
I'll take that as a compliment. Yes.
when you see a difference in terminology, then you try to pull it apart. We'll just end with one idea that I think is important for the 3 weeks. So the Gemara, the story that we quoted before about the poel and the owner. So it started with Hadan Chaviro Lekaf Zchut, Danino Tolu Zchut. This is the blessing that he gave him, that if you judge your friend favorably, you'll be judged favorably. Judged favorably by whom? So at the first, it could be that if it's an interpersonal thing, then the kind of person who judges others favorably, it gets noticed, and that person gets judged favorably. But it's clear by the end of the story that if you judge others favorably, Hashem judges you favorably. So the Shita Mekubetzet asks the question. He says, "L'olam yadin adam chaviro lekaf zchut shekein kach danin oto lemala." Right, quoting the Gemara in Shabbat. It says, "V'chein matzino b'chagiga derava ashkechel Eliyahu amr lei ma'ika avid kudra bichu amr lei gam yishmaita mipuma dekulu rabbanan bar mi Rabbi Meir." So he tells a story. He says, the Gemara in Chagiga has a story about Rava who said that he once asked Eliyahu, what's Hashem doing? And Hashem says he's quoting all of the rabbis except for Rabbi Meir. Why is he not quoting Rabbi Meir? Because Rabbi Meir learned Torah from Acher, from Elisha ben Avuya. So Hashem doesn't want to quote him because he learned from a bad person. So Rava said to Eliyahu, Rabbi Meir tocho achal klipato zarak. Yeah, Rava said, no. Rav Meir was able to learn from only the good stuff, and he threw away the bad stuff. Amar le hashta kamar Meir bni Omer. Eliyahu said, oh, now Hashem started quoting Rabbi Meir. Once you said that, Hashem started quoting Rabbi Meir. It's a strange story. What Hashem doesn't know that Rabbi Meir was quoting was only taking the good stuff and not the bad stuff. Why couldn't Hashem quote Rabbi Meir until Rava said what he said? So the Shita Mikubetzer says, Harei ata roe al piyam shelamata nidona lamala. Says, apparently, the way that people judge below is the way that Hashem judges from on high. V'tam gadol yesh badavar, sha'av abi sheyodeh ha-kadosh baruch hu zchuto, lo ratza la'asot kodem ipnei taromet midat adin. He said, even though Hashem knows your zchut, right? If you as a person, even though he knows that you're a good person, that he knows that he should be dan the kafskut because there is a way of judging you favorably in a certain situation. If he tries to do that, the midat adin will say, yeah, but this guy never judges other people favorably. So why should you judge him favorably? But if you are the kind of person that also judges people favorably, then Hashem will be able to turn back to the midat adin and say, no, look, this person always judges people favorably, so I can do that to him. In other words, the judgment that comes from on high parallels the way that you go about in the world. And that's the benefit of being of judging favorably. All right. That's what I wanted to share with you all. Anybody have any other insights that they want to share about this?
Shkoyach. Thank you very much. Well done.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night, everyone. Hope to see you soon.
Thanks. Last one, everybody. Yes, some cows.